John Walden, I want to study with you the second letter of John just now. We often overlook the second and third epistles of John because they are short, only 13 and 14 verses, and because they are sort of overshadowed by the first epistle of John. But really, they are intended to be read together with them. They are given to us because they are the practical application of what has been taught in the first epistle of John. The elder unto the elect lady and her children. Now the elder, of course, is John himself. He calls himself this in the third epistle as well. The Christians of the first century had no high-sounding titles for their leaders. Now you think that over a little bit. The elder. That means the older brother. He could have claimed a lot of things for himself. He could have taken some high-sounding titles like some do today. But he was satisfied just simply to be their older brother. We don't know who the elect lady was. Some people have thought that this was a personal letter and should never have been included in the scriptures. But the Spirit of God has included it for us so that we can have the same warnings and the same help that were given in this first century to whoever this lady and her children happened to be. There are many such letters in the New Testament. Paul's letter to Philemon is like this. There's a great deal in this for us. Notice the prominence of the word truth. It's mentioned twice in verse 1, again in verse 2, the end of verse 3, and in verse 4. The next epistle uses the word quite often as well. The truth, of course, always refers to God's word. Thy word is truth, Jesus said in praying to his Father in the 17th of John. And if you want the truth, don't turn to the philosophies of men. Don't turn to the vagaries of people's guesses. Turn to the Bible. There are some who tell us that there is no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, it's popular today not to believe in anything as an absolute. But thank God we have the absolute truth in the Word of God. And you can trust it. My studies for half a century have taught me that there is no discrepancy and no question about this book. I'm glad to be able to trust it fully, and I recommend it to you. Now there are two lines of truth in these first six verses where he discusses the path of the believer. The way that a believer ought to go, there are two lines of truth. And these two lines are the same truths that are taught in the first epistle of John. First of all, love, and secondly, obedience. He says that he's very glad for the truth as they knew it, and all who have known the truth, and he's very glad for their walking in the truth. Verse 4, he says, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, that is, going by the word of God. Now, the first commandment is the old commandment, not a new one, but the same one that we had from the beginning, he says in verse 5, that we love one another. We saw in studying the first epistle that this covers everything. If you love one another, you won't bite and devour one another. You won't hurt one another. Love is the fulfilling of the law. The whole law is comprehended in this one word, that you love one another. And so he asks us that we love one another. And he says, this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is his commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. God wants us to be obedient. We learn two things about God in the first epistle of John. God is light, and God is love. God is light tells us of his absolute holiness and righteousness. God is love tells us of his tenderness and kindness. Now God wants these two things to be seen in all of his children. We ought to be loving like our Father. And every child of God does love God, and he does love God's children. And he does love the souls of the unsaved. He even loves his enemies, to some degree at least. This is one of the ways in which we prove that we are the children of God. But not only this, We prove that we are God's children by walking in the light, by obedience, by being like our Father in righteous living. This is not to say that there is no evil in us, because he tells us in 1 John 1 that anyone who says that he doesn't sin is just deceiving himself. But the general tone and trend of a Christian's life should be likeness to his Father. So you have in these first six verses of 2 John the path of a believer. The pathway for a Christian is to follow the truth of God. Read, study, obey God's holy word. If you're not taking time each day for the study of God's word, you're asking for trouble. If you're not a child of God, you haven't begun on this path, and may I suggest to you that the only way for you to begin upon the pathway that God has outlined is by receiving Christ as your own Savior. The Lord Jesus died for your sins and rose again, and you can receive him as your Savior. And from that moment, you begin to walk on the path that God has set before his children. Now, from verses 7 to 11 of this second epistle of John, we have the peril of the believer, the dangers. And he tells us there are many deceivers entered into the world. I don't want to say a word to discredit any true servant of Christ. But let me tell you, my friend, not all who take the place of being Bible teachers are true. There are a great many cults, a great many false religions, a great many false doctrines being taught in the world today. Now, how can we know? Well, remember in our studies of 1 John 4, he told us the two tests to apply. What do they think of Christ, and what do they think of God's word? And apply these tests. What do they think of Christ? Is he only a man? Is he just a created angel? Is he just a teacher? Those people are not confessing the Lord Jesus Christ as the eternal Son of God, and therefore they are false teachers. What do they think of the Word of God? Is the Word of God just another book? Is the Word of God full of errors and myths and ideas that belong to the Dark Ages? Those people don't believe God's Word, and therefore they are false teachers. Test them by these two things. Many are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Antichrist means against Christ. Of course, there's going to be a person called the Antichrist who will come when the Lord takes his people home. But there are many antichrists, many who are against Christ, and this is the way they show that they are not for Christ. They do not confess Jesus Christ come in flesh. They do not believe in the eternal deity and the true humanity of our Lord Jesus. Look to yourselves. That is, be careful that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. He's saying to his converts, behave yourself in such a way, conduct yourself in such a way that we don't lose all that we have invested in you. We spent time trying to teach you. Now, see that you go on well for God. Notice the word doctrine twice in verse 9 and again in verse 10. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. This is the way you prove that you are really of God, because you abide in the doctrine or the teaching. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. This is the New Testament relationship. We belong to God as his children by faith in his Son. Now if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, the truths that you have been taught in the scriptures themselves, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Well, you say, that wouldn't be polite. Well, this is no time for politeness. If a man came into your house with a gun, threatening to shoot you and your children, would you try to be polite? And when a man comes to you with false doctrine, he is coming as a murderer of souls. And you flee from this kind of thing. Don't receive him into your house. Don't bid him Godspeed. You can pray for the poor fellow's soul. But don't allow him to poison you or your family with false teaching. Don't allow them to bring into your home books that will be a hindrance. Look through your library and see if you have some things that could mislead members of your own family if they got hold of them. And get rid of these things. Today it's unpopular to burn books. You're supposed to be broad-minded. Well, we burn our garbage, don't we? And the Christians in the first century gathered all of their evil books together and burned them, didn't they? 50,000 pieces of silver worth in one bonfire. Let's get rid of these evil things. Then the closing is very sweet. He had many things to write, but he said, I won't write them with paper and ink because I trust to come to you and to speak face to face that our joy may be full. Christians enjoy each other's company, and this is just a little prelude to what's going to happen when the Lord comes back and we're going to be face to face with Him and face to face with our loved ones and face to face with all of God's dear children, and our joy will be full. What a wonderful day is ahead for those who receive Christ. What a wonderful day is ahead for those who have lived to please Him here when they are rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. Do you know the Lord? Then go on to live for Him. Our Father, in the precious name of our Savior, we offer Thee our sincere thanks for Him, for Thy Word, for all that Thou hast done for us through Him and through the Word of God. Bless Thy Word to us just now, we pray in His name. Amen.